Hello, everyone, and welcome in to the Youth Hoops Pod presented by Pro Skills Basketball. Today, you are listening to part two of a previously recorded Zoom webinar featuring the man himself, Stephen Curry. This is a conversation between Steph Curry and the players and coaches of Team Curry that involved some of what Steph is doing in his downtime to get better, as well as simple conversations that players have about recruiting and things that Steph went through. We hope you enjoy listening to part two of this conversation, and we'll talk to you soon.
My question is, what direction do you think the professional women's basketball game is going to, like, dealing with, you know, the popularity and stuff like that?
This is a very pivotal time. I think I'm not as well versed on, like, what the actual CBA that they just put into action is written, but the main points around, you know, the increase in earning potential for each player on average, trying to get more dollars into the marketing the game and increasing, you know, their exposure. We know the WNBA season over the summer months, it has its own lane, but it always hasn't been front and center from a basketball perspective. And I think that's continuing to change and get better every single year. And so I think it starts at the grassroots level for, you know, those professional women that have amazing stories to tell and, you know, have amazing journeys around how they got to that point, that those stories need to be told way more, you know, as an impact to, you know, the younger girls that are trying to get into the game and understand that there's an end goal to this. And I think, you know, we all know what sports and what basketball teaches us, but that journey to, like, I want to aspire to be a professional women's basketball player, that story needs to be told a lot more. And so I think it's getting better. There's a lot, obviously, a room for improvement and making sure that opportunity is equal across the board, all the way up into the professional level. There's so many things that we're trying to do to address that. And so hopefully everybody's leaning in. I know even from a Team Curry perspective, like, just the way that we want to represent the men's and women's game, that speaks volumes to how important, you know, growing the game from a women's perspective is. And you know, I'm excited about, you know, celebrating the women's game as best I can, and again, you know, telling or sharing the stories of those impactful women that make it to the pros that can then, you know, reach back down to where we all started and say, you know, this could be you.
Thank you for answering my question.
No doubt. Thank you.
Awesome. Hey, Steph, we got a special your turn, man. This is one of Andrew Lovedale's A2S kids, man.
There we go.
That's on Team Curry. So, special connection right there. Go ahead, Iffy.
Hello. My name is Iffy. Well, my question is, what do you do, like, before every game to prepare yourself mentally, just to make sure your head's in the game? Like, you know, like, what do you do to make you feel the game before every game, just to get your head in the game?
Absolutely. Two things. One is try to find whatever your pregame routine is, from, you know, what you eat, what you listen to, turning off social media distractions. Like, there's got to be a trigger for, like, it's game time, whether that's an hour before, 2 hours before, whatever it is. You got to find what's comfortable for you, something that you can repeat over and over and over again to prepare your mind to be, you know, sharp and alert and prepared, but also just calm, because there's so many things going on in our busy lives. Like, you got to be able to turn that off, you know, the best way you can to get ready to go play. So finding that routine and that consistent routine that you can do every single game is big. For me, I try to eat one of the same pregame meals at the same time before a game, because I know how my body is going to respond. I got an hour-long playlist that I try to listen to every game, that gets me in the right frame of mind, whether that's, you know, whatever music, you know, it's going to stimulate you in that way. And even all the way how I put my uniform on, to how I warm up, to things that I tell myself like rehearsed lines that I do to motivate myself. I have a consistent pattern that I've developed over time. And so you got to think about that. And then two, I try to just take a 5 minute period and visualize myself on the court doing what I want to do. So sizing up who my opponent is. If I know going into the game, I got to guard Chris Paul. Like, I know what his tendencies are, and I envision myself like watching him do what he's going to do, me defending him and how he's going to defend me. I go through those reps in my head. It doesn't have to be long. It's just a moment to kind of just sit, close your eyes, envision that 94 feet or 84 feet and see yourself doing what you want to do, so that when you get out there, you've already been in the game, you know, before the ball even tips. So those two things, just got to be consistent with it.
Thank you.
No doubt.
Next question, Sam Walters. Go ahead, man. Unmute yourself and ask away.
Steph, what's up?
What's happening?
So I got a playoff question. What's one of your favorite highlights for like the playoffs, the finals?
Well, that's a good question. Probably 2015 finals game 5 at home, obviously against Cleveland. It was a fourth quarter. I hit a shot over Matthew Dellavedova on like the right wing. Mm-hmm. And that was like, obviously we're chasing our first championship. And that was like one of those kind of momentum plays where it's 2-2. Tied in the series, and we needed to win that game to go to Cleveland, try to finish it out. And we had never been there before, never experienced, you know, that type of, you know, environment. And hitting that shot and kind of, I think we went up like 8 at the time and kind of sealed the game. It was a good feeling though. We were going, you know, up 3-2 going back to Cleveland. I don't know if it jumps to people's front of minds, but that was like the best feeling of like, all right, we're in control of this series now. Like, yeah. let's go back.
You said you were up by 8 when you made that?
Either I hit it to go up 8 or somewhere around that stretch where it was like, you know, 3-4 minutes left in the fourth, and, you know, we're trying to close it out at home. So first time experiencing those type of things for me are always the most memorable.
Yeah, that's awesome. All right. Thank you, Steph.
Yes, sir. Anything but 2016 was memorable.
Layla Wall, go ahead, unmute yourself and ask your question.
Hey, Steph.
How you doing?
Good. But my question is, what were some challenges you faced as a small point guard in your early years?
Just the physicality of the game, whether it was high school, college, or the pros, I was always the late bloomer. So that was always the biggest adjustment, you know, the speed and the physicality of the game, especially as a point guard where, people fall in love with how I shoot the ball, but there's so many other things that you have to do from that position to get your teammates involved or, you know, get in the lane and be able to make plays. And so, like the most specific example is I always struggled when I got into the paint and the defense collapsed and there's, you know, 4 or 5 bodies around, being able to like pick the ball up and make that pass to either corner, because I just wasn't strong enough to take the hit, be able to, you know, get the ball up and make an on time on target pass. And so like no matter how much attention I drew, it never would make a difference because I couldn't get the ball to where I wanted it to go. And so like just getting comfortable at, you know, and at my size, obviously working on my strength. I'm not going to be like the biggest, bulkiest dude, but I can still be, you know, have my core strong so that I can take a hit, get the ball where I need to go and you know, take advantage of the attention that I would get because I could shoot the ball. So not being afraid of, you know, being the trees, like as a small guard, you can't be overwhelmed by that. It might take you a minute to figure it out, but you'll get there.
Thank you.
No doubt.
AJ Allen Spock, ask your question. I think this question is very, very applicable to the position that all the players are in now. So go ahead, AJ.
Hey, Steph.
What's going on?
I said a quick question about like your college selection process. Like,
yeah.
What did you look for in a college, and what made you land on Davidson?
Well, the top two things, like 1A, 1B, were the coach, first and foremost, because, you know, you're entrusting, you know, yourself, your future to somebody that you want to be able to trust, and you want them to be able to tell it to you straight. Like, you want an honest, trustworthy coach that is going to challenge you. And so for me, like, it was between Davidson, Winthrop, and Virginia Commonwealth. And so Coach Bob McKillop, who's still at Davidson, obviously B went, you know, he probably speak volumes on how amazing of a coach he is and how amazing of a person he is. Jeff Capel was at Virginia Commonwealth at the time. And who's the coach? Oh, Greg Marshall was at Winthrop, who's at used to be at Wichita State. But like three solid coaches that had a pretty solid track record. And I knew that, you know, they were going to give it to me straight with him. If I was messing up, if I was playing well, they were going to keep it real and challenge me and try to, you know, get the most out of my game. And so Coach McKillop, he checked off that list. And then the second part for me was, you know, looking at the opportunity to get on the floor. And that was not as clear. And over the, I guess across the board, that's the one that's not it's a hard one to kind of, you know, assess, because at Davidson, when I was looking at the school, we had seven seniors that were graduating before I got on campus. You know, B. Wentz's class was leaving. And so I knew I'd have to earn it. I knew I had to go in there and work my butt off to go, you know, get the Coach McKillop's trust to put me on the floor. But I knew that there was an opportunity at the same time. And you know, things change from year to year, and you got to be, you know, all right with that in a sense, because there's certain things that you can't control. But I just wanted to be on the floor and be able to learn, you know, through playing. And, you know, Davidson gave me a great opportunity to do that, you know, straight out the gate. So I knew where I had the confidence, like maybe the stubbornness to say, no matter where I went, I knew I'd try to, you know, make the best of the situation and prove that I was a difference maker. But I think those two things for me made me feel the most comfortable about picking a school and believing that it was the right, you know, spot for me, no matter if it was, you know, close to home, away from home, all those other things. But that was just from my perspective. You have to find, you know, weigh all the things that are priorities for you, for your family, in that decision too. And we all are in different situations. So, you know, just be real about it.
Yeah. Thank you.
Hey, Mallory Haynes, this is Stefan, this is a current Davidson commit. Mallory Haynes, go ahead, ask away. Are you on mute?
Hi, I'm here.
Okay.
My question was, when you were at Davidson, what were some things that motivated you to like keep your head up, and then what helped you make the decision to go pro before your senior year?
Good question. So, what motivated me to keep going is the same thing that motivates me today, is I'm always just trying to get better. I think, you know, from an early age, I don't know if it's cause I was undersized, you know, my entire career pretty much, that I always knew I needed to outwork people. I wasn't necessarily blessed with the physique and the you know, most talent and all that type of stuff. So I had to work for everything that I got. And that's part of my DNA that's kind of been consistent since I can remember. At Davidson, when I got there, I got to play right away. But my first ever college game, we had a tournament up in Michigan. And I think we were playing Eastern Michigan my first game. And I had 13 turnovers my first game. It's a smooth 17 and 13 stat line. So a nice little double-double, but not the one that you want, right? So kind of goes back to my question before. I had a coach that believed in me and was going to, you know, be patient with me, but still challenge me and make me feel uncomfortable to kind of push through it. And I had to dig deep to figure out what that was going to mean for me. So, and we wanted to be great. We had a great team that knew that we could beat and play with anybody in the country. And so it was a collective thing. It was me buying into what, you know, the ethos of the team was and our belief in each other. So it was kind of a natural process for me through that. And then fast forward to, you know, at the end of my junior year, It was one of the hardest decisions that I think I've ever had to make. I kind of knew it was a win-win, but still, you know, my emotional heartstrings were, you know, tied to being at Davidson. I loved the experience there. You know, when you sign out to play at college, you know, it is like a four-year, you know, commitment. And that's how I went into it, because the NBA was on, it was a goal, but it wasn't necessarily, I wasn't going to rush it. And so at the end of the day, I waited till the last second to kind of make the decision before the draft, but I felt like I had pretty much achieved as much as I could at Davidson, and had really been productive that last year, really rounding out my game to what it needed to be for, you know, to become an NBA point guard. And the time was just right. So it took me a while to get there to make the decision. Everybody was wondering why I didn't go after my sophomore year, but I just felt like I wasn't ready, and nobody was going to make that decision but me. So I wanted to be accountable to myself, and obviously it's worked out, but it was a tough decision for sure.
Thank you.
No doubt.
All right, we got a young buck from Charlotte Christian, Bryce Cash. Go okay. ahead.
What's up, Steph?
What's happening?
How do you work on handling adversity during the game, like throughout the game?
That was a process that took me a while. I used to sulk back in the day when I was like early AAU days. I used to have a turnover and I dropped my head and be worried about it, because I was trying to be a perfectionist on the court, never really wanted to make a mistake. And so it took me a while to kind of break through that. And it's a consistent thing with Coach McKillop. He always used to say next play mentality.
Yeah.
And that I still say that to this day. And I tell my teammates, and it's kind of like a go-to thing. If I make a turnover, you got to snap or stay in the moment to know, all right, I made that mistake, figure out why I made that mistake, and move on. Because in basketball, we have the opportunity to have a next play to make up for it. And so that's been the biggest learning lesson, you know, through that. I said 13 turnovers in my first game. I heard next play 13 times that game. Yep. So, you know, from that point on, it's kind of a natural habit for me for that term to pop up in my head, whether I miss a shot, whether I have a turnover, whether I get beat on defense, whether we lose a big game. You know, we all hate that feeling, but you got to tell yourself whatever it is to snap out of it and worry about what's coming next.
Appreciate it.
No doubt.
Aisha Pride. Go ahead. This is one of our coaches.
How you doing, Steph? You might have answered it, but just if you could share with us maybe one of the most memorable advice you got from a coach, and maybe who that coach was.
That probably my answer was, you know, just that next play type of situation with Coach McKillop. But every coach that I've had along the way has taught me something unique and special that's helped me be the player that I am, from the time I was 9 when I started AAU to now. And if I had, you know, more time, I'd probably list out each coach and could figure out like one thing that they left me with in terms of, you know, how I see the game of basketball or life. But honestly, Coach McKillop, I have it tattooed on my wrist, and it's we had a sign outside of our locker room. It's still there, and it's TCC of the letters, and it's an acronym for Trust, Commitment, Care. And we used to smack the board. B when those used to smack the board before we went in the locker room, out of the locker room. Every time Coach texts me, he still writes those letters at the end of the text. And I know a lot of my teammates, we still say it to each other. And that is three kind of characteristics that define how you approach the game of basketball, but also life. And you know, how you can see that things are bigger than just yourself, because it's always about the power of the group and the power of the team. And in order to have a high functioning, you know, productive team, you have to have trust with each other. You got to be able to communicate, and there has to be a level of care that you're going to sacrifice yourself and do whatever you got to do to help the team win. And anything great that I've done in my career has always been because of having great teammates around me. And I'm the first one to tell you that that's the case. And that's been a huge catalyst, and never do anything by myself. So I think that, yeah. And that works, you know, on the court and off, obviously, in terms of anything great that we want to do in this life. So trust, commitment, care has been a huge motivator for me throughout my career.
Great. Thank you.
No doubt.
There's a few people that have asked a similar sort of questions, but I'm going to let Amber Thrash ask this. And you may have answered this already, but Amber, go ahead and ask, and we'll see what Stephen says.
Hi, Mr. Curry.
How you doing, Amber?
Good. When you're missing shots in a game, what's your mental approach to overcoming that?
Yeah, it depends. So if I miss one shot, I don't care. Unless it's the game winner, then I care for like maybe 30 minutes after the game, and I'm motivated to kind of come back the next game and figure it out. If I'm in a quote-unquote slump, which I hate saying that word, but you get what I'm trying to describe. In the game, I'm trying to think about one specific, you know, my mechanics that I can focus on, whether it's, you know, how I feel the ball in my hands, get my hand right in the right position, or whether it's my balance, or whether it's shot selection. Like, there's got to be one thing that I can focus on in that specific moment to kind of distract me from, you know, that feeling of, dang, I'm missing all these shots in a row. Like, what is going on? And that comes with, you know, repetition, you know, being in the gym, working on your game and grinding, because you got to have those things that you can kind of fall back on in terms of, you know, when I've been in the gym and I've been in rhythm and motion, knocking down shots and really getting better as a shooter, like, I usually feel a certain thing or have a certain thought. And you got to remember that and be able to pull from that, you know, in those moments. So I don't ever lose confidence. Just get, you gotta get that straight. Like, you gotta always believe that next shot's going in, and it's easier said than done. But you gotta almost trick yourself, or have like, you gotta be like naive in a sense of like, I don't care what's happened up until this point. I'm gonna make the next one, and whether it happens or not, I'm cool. I'm living with it. But that's the approach. You know, don't overcomplicate it. But you know, if you're in a streak of shooting the ball not at your standard, find one thing that you can focus on, and then after the game's over, get back in the gym and grind.
I know you got to go pretty soon, so we'll just take two more. And Nick Jones, I think you have a good question that a lot of the players probably are in the same position on their high school teams, so could learn a lot from that. Nick is
cool. Yeah, what's going on, Steph?
What's happening?
Like Brendan said, most of these kids are probably the best player at their school, especially 16, 17 you kids. So basically, can you kind of talk to them about that mentality of knowing every single night they step on the court, they're the focal point of the opposing team scouting report, and kind of what separates the guys who can handle that and the ones who struggle with it?
For sure. Kind of goes back to my earlier question. I think there's three things I would say. One is embrace it. Like, embrace that it's hard, and there's a level of expectation and responsibility with being that guy or that girl on the team. When you walk in the gym, they're looking at you saying, oh, he or she's in the gym. Like, oh shoot, we're going to be in for it tonight. Like, you got to embrace that, but that shouldn't spill over into, you know, just a sense of ego around, like, I'm doing this by myself. Because kind of, you know, the important part is that you're that guy, you're that dude, you're that girl that's, you know, that's leading the charge every night, that's finding a way to, like, will your team to win, that you're the most talented person, you grind, you know, you work hard. But without those other four, you know, people on the court and everybody on the bench, like, you're not going to do anything. So you got to lead with, you know, like, gratitude in terms of what everybody brings to the table. And that's a consistent approach every single day by what you say, and also, you know, how you lead by example. And so you got to work on that. You got to be aware. of how you're handling those situations. The second part is like, don't be afraid of failure, because no matter how good you are, you're going to lose. You're going to miss shots. You're going to have bad games, and people are going to talk crazy about you when they do, because they're waiting for you to fail. And that's never been more relevant than in today's culture, because you got social media now where somebody comes to your game and they know you're the best player, and then you have 5 points and shoot 2 for 20, and they're like, you know, it's like a whole conversation after the game of they overrated, they not this, they not that, but you know who you are. So just know that that's coming, and that's part of the position of being that, you know, the best player on your team. And just the last part is, you know, at the end of the day, I think we all work as hard as we do to be that person, because I think we all expect greatness out of ourselves in some way, shape, or form. And, you know, I think that's the best part about what we do and what the game of basketball brings, because, you know, that's that competition and, you know, people gunning for you every single night. You're going to get everybody's best effort. Like when we was winning, you know, going to 5 straight finals, every night it was people's, you know, championship game. And if they beat us, you know, it made their whole season. So, just knowing that that's coming and that level of competition is only going to make you even better, because it's going to require that you are, you know, at the top of your game every single night. Whether you succeed or not, you can live with that. But I'd rather be in that situation every single day of the week than anything else.
Appreciate it.
No doubt.
All right, last question. Cade Nicholson, I believe you asked 2 questions, but you can ask the latest question, the Easter question. Go ahead, man. Another Charlotte Christian kid, by the way.
What's up, Steph? I was just wondering what you're going to do for Easter this year.
I'm going to get dressed up for the first time in a month and just stay at my house and watch some services on online and spend as much time with my family with no distractions. So, it's going to be a new routine for everybody. I think I've worn sweatsuits for 27 straight days. so I'm waiting for Sunday to put a little, at least some slacks on or something. But, yeah, I'm going to spend some time watching some services online. Sure, Aisha's going to cook something. Enjoy some purposeful family time. And, yeah, it's going to be different, but we're going to enjoy it and make the most of it for sure.
Yes, sir. Thank you.
Absolutely.
All right, man. Well, we appreciate it. Do you have any?
Did you freeze? I think you guys have any last words, but I do. Just again, I appreciate everybody. Obviously, your time right now, but for, you know, committing and believing in what Team Curry is. I think we have great leadership. We have great coaches. We have, we're going to continue to develop and build a great culture of, you know, winning, but doing it the right way and working hard. So I appreciate, you know, just you representing, you know, that name the way that I would expect, the way that each one of these coaches would expect as well. So, it's going to be an amazing journey when we get back out there. For now, just, again, spend time with your family and enjoy this new kind of pace of life. This will be a period in your life in terms of when we come out of this that you'll never forget, because it should cement, again, a gratitude and a perspective of what's really important in life and how you need to approach it every single day and not take anything for granted. So embrace it and stay safe. Appreciate you guys and all the support out here. And you know, the biggest part of this is a new situation, but I want to be available to each and every one of you the best I can. Obviously, you know, this type of forum was awesome, getting your questions and hopefully you learned a little something, but, you know, we're going to find ways to make sure that this is a consistent thing where if you got something on your mind and you want to ask, that you can find a way to get in touch with me and we can have that, you know, environment where, you know, we're trying to continue to help you guys grow and get better on and off the court. So coaches as well, I appreciate you guys and all the sacrifice and commitment that you do on a daily basis to lead these kids and or these young men and women. in the game of basketball and life, and representing Team Curry the best that you can as well, because it's not possible, obviously, without you guys. And so thank you so much for that. I don't know if I've ever had a chance to talk to everybody in person, but thank you for that as well. I'm excited about what this can be going forward. So I'm gonna send B Went that workout. Hopefully he'll be able to share it with you guys. And the last thing, I think we're gonna put together a online kind of curriculum. I do this underrated tour, or this is the second year of doing the underrated tour. And since it's been on pause, a lot of the workouts that I'm gonna end up doing here at the house, I'm gonna try to package so that you guys can follow along. And B1's gonna have all that information too. So we all got a chance to stay active, to keep working on our game, even though we're all at home right now. So look out for that in the near future as well. Appreciate everybody. And enjoy your families, enjoy your downtime, and y'all stay safe, all right?
Steph, appreciate that, man. Hey, players and coaches, if you can hang on the line for a little bit, we'll let Stephan get off. And, man, really appreciate that. And stay safe and healthy.
Absolutely. Appreciate y'all.
If you enjoyed listening to part two of this previously recorded Zoom webinar with Stephan Curry and the players and coaches of Team Curry, if you enjoyed what you were listening to and you would like to learn how to go put in some work and get better, we encourage you to go download our free app on the App Store, PSB Plus Basketball Training. Again, that is PSB Plus Basketball Training. Hop right in some workouts, get better, and we hope to see you soon and talk to you soon on another conversation.